we're back.
This is Money Talks, and the guys are laughing at me.
I'm not laughing at you. I'm laughing at Matt.
I got this covered.
He's got what we call that board. What is it called? The
switchboard.
Basically. No, whatever. The things that we got all sorts of crazy crap on there and all sorts of stuff, music and those jokes and those things about Teddy and me and stuff like that.
I'm going to break those out
and
later.
He's never done
that. I've never run the board, so I think I'm doing all right over here. I feel pretty good about it. We've come in, we've gone out, and it sounds good. Right?
The jury's still out, man.
Yes, it is out. Let me see. We got a bunch of questions down here we haven't talked about in a bit. Let's ask another specific stock question. Teddy, for you. Barry from Sandy Springs. I wanted to bring back a blast from the past, Diebold. Has this company righted itself, or is NCR a better bet?
No, Debo hasn't righted itself. I mean, you're talking about a company that their acquisition fell apart because they wouldn't issue financial statements. Yeah. They were being taken out. We sold them. We made money on them. We sold the stock at the top.
And the bank branching hasn't gone on. And that's been a problem. But no. There was a favorable article in Barron's about them. But that's not a company that I see a lot of growth in, do you?
Well, from my perspective, and Teddy, I mean, by all means, you're the stock guy, not me, but from a banking perspective, the technology and the innovation that has to take place through the retail channel for banks, it's going to have to be coming from NCR and or Diebold.
Mm-hmm.
And, whether it's virtual tellers, the video screens, whether it's ATMs that can handle everything a teller could transact or more, branch infrastructure is going to have to update its technology and or go away. There are going to be fewer branches in the future, not more. So it's the banking industry as a whole has got a major paradigm shift that's already here, and they're trying to figure it out.
I've seen a change. I go to the branch up here on Bank of America right up from Cherokee, the other side, Way Green.
Yeah. Way Green, yeah.
And you go in there, and there's only two tellers now.
Right.
And then they've got this other area that something can do something, but I'm going, yeah. I don't know. I want to talk to somebody. I'm only one of the old guys.
But
there's only two tellers in there. There used to be like five.
They have a super ATM machine, basically.
That's right.
And
the challenge is what you could do on your mobile phone. That's the risk.
Yes.
To the Diebolds.
I think Diebold, that's a big risk for them because that's a huge part of their business, security and ATMs.
Yep.
NCR has more offerings. They do a lot of self-serve kiosk and a whole lot
of
areas.
Point-of-sale systems. I mean, National Cash Register, right? The NCR brand of old. They do have a much broader portfolio of
And it's much cheaper, by the way, than Debo. Yeah. Debo's at 20 times earnings. NCR's at 10 times earnings, and it's growing faster.
Well, the answer to the question is NCR.
Of the two, NCR looks best.
But maybe neither is the place where you the sector of the industry where you want to be.
Neither is an obvious buy.
All right. I found this interesting. I don't know if you guys are familiar with this. No, I'm just going to bring it up here. Rebecca from Smyrna. I signed up for Social Security in May, and they sent me a letter stating I had money in a profit sharing plan with the company that I used to work for many years ago. Unfortunately, the company is no longer in business. What can I do to try and recover this money? Do you have any idea, guys?
Yeah, there's a couple of things that they could do. I mean, at the end of the day, what typically happens, even in a bank setting or in a profit-sharing plan, anytime money goes unclaimed, there's a period of time where basically the receivers or the federal government makes an attempt or a bank makes an attempt to identify or locate the person. And if they don't find the person, it's what's called escheated, and it's sent to the state as basically unclaimed funds. Now, there are a couple of websites that you could go and look at. One is a site called Missing Money, and it's www.missingmoney.com. Another example is of another website is unclaimedretirementbenefits.com. So there are a few websites
Who finds these websites? I wonder. I'll bet maybe they charge them a fee.
Well, the National Association of Unclaimed Property. Mm-hmm. How about that?
Yeah, I run in that office.
There you go.
That's on the third floor. Just by the coffee machine.
Yeah, and the game to play, right, is to the extent you can locate your funds and you are able to track them down, in a profit sharing like this, I mean, what you've got to be cognizant of is if you take the money straight from them, then it's going to be taxable too if you don't put it in an IRA. So you want to be sure that you roll those dollars over, if you find them, into an IRA.
So it's not hopeless.
No, it's not hopeless.
Okay.
It's not hopeless. This does happen. It is fairly common. So.
Okay. That we got an answer there. Yeah. Now we got Roland from Atlanta. My wife wants to take money out of our joint account and invest in other things in her name only. Uh-oh, there's a sign there. Has she lost some weight recently? Does she have unexplained absences from home? just bringing that up. Since
just
possible.
Just asking.
Well, what should I do? Any ideas? It's like you could, you know, I guess you can simply say no, but.
No, I mean, they're married, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, George's and.
Well, in a joint account, she can sign up and take it all.
Yes.
Well, it's still marital property.
Yeah, so. But what I'm saying is that why don't you let her invest in her? I mean, I don't know. My wife and I have never had a joint account, ever, from day one.
So your advice would be?
I'd have separate accounts. I don't want her to get her hands on my money. And she doesn't want me to get my hands on her money. And what she spends it on is her business. What I spend it on is my business. Correct?
Sounds like a marriage counseling conversation to me, more than a financial counseling conversation.
It'll all come out in court and the divorce proceedings.
Okay.
Here's a key. Cash. Spend cash.
Cash.
You know, Superman, Chris Reeves would give this answer. Georgia's an equitable distribution state, which means that all marital property acquired during the marriage is subject to division. So he doesn't have to worry.
Don't we have a divorce expert, Charlie Holloway?
Yeah.
Isn't
Charlie.
He a certified financial or certified?
Divorce financial analyst.
Financial analyst.
I believe that's the,
we got one on there.
He's,
and our number for you, Roland, is 770-429-9166. And we'll be happy to put somebody on top of this for you. What is duration and why should I pay attention to it? Guys?
You want to start out, Matthew? You want me to take it now?
No, you can jump on in there. I'll tell you.
Most people, I mean, duration from an academic point of view let's go a little further back. Bond prices typically move in the opposite direction of yields. So when the yields of a bond goes up, that means the price is going down.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. The technical definition of duration is calculated basically the length of time it takes to receive the full and true value of the investment, and it takes into account the present value of all of the expected future cash flows.
You have to take into account. Let's say, for example, you own a bond that is due, quote, matures in 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
The duration will always be less than the maturity because you have to take into account you're going to receive interest payments every 6 months over the next 15 years. So the average duration is going to be less than that. And that's the true measure of when, as you pointed out, in just layman's terms, when I'm net present value, all the money I'm going to get back is I'm going to get it back in X number of years.
Yep.
Right. So go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
Well, so to the question, so why should I care? The longer the duration, the more
sensitivity. Interest rate sensitivity.
That's right.
And that's the definition that most people should worry about because it's volatility.
Yeah. So if the Fed chooses to raise interest rates 1%, that's going to adversely impact a fixed income instrument with a long
maturity
duration.
And it won't do much for something that's due in 90 days.
Right.
Okay. So really, when it's useful for individuals is that when you look at bond funds, okay, and you may have a bond fund that's a long-term bond fund, if you do go to Morningstar and look up the bond fund, it'll give you the duration. So it might say someone might call themselves a midterm bond fund, and you go take a look at it, and it's got a duration of 9 years, and there's another fund that has a duration of 5 years. Mm-hmm. Where you're going to be much riskier in a 9-year duration than you are in a 5-year.
Yeah. And when looking at volatility, typically, rule of thumb, you can multiply the change in interest rates by the number of years to maturity of the bond. So if interest rates go at 1% and you have 5 years to maturity, that bond should fall or increase by 5%.
Right.
So it's a measure of volatility as well.
Yeah.
There you go. All right. Another question here from Charles and Lisa from Roswell. We saw an article about three Amazon-proof retailers. I don't know if they're Amazon-proof. And retailers, I wanted to get your opinion. One of them was Williams-Sonoma. The other one was Nordstrom. And the other one was Home Depot. I know we've heard you say that Williams-Sonoma is outrageously priced, and the BBY's is better. It's better
Best Bed Buy. Bath & Beyond.
Bed Bath & Beyond.
Yeah.
Okay, when I shoot on this thing, I would say that there are fewer and fewer things that are Amazon-proof. Since you can buy refrigerators online,
mm-hmm.
okay? Now you could probably buy nails online, but probably what you can't buy online, but actually you can, is shrubs and stuff like that. So mm-hmm. of these three, I would say that Home Depot is the most protected.
Yeah.
Okay.
From buying online, because I can't think of anything that Williams-Sonoma has that I can't buy online cheaper.
Yeah.
And I'm talking the exact same product.
Sure, same product.
Williams-Sonoma has a very robust online presence.
Oh, I know that.
Now, I'd say Nordstrom's probably has the most exposure to Amazon because clothing.
Yeah.
And even higher-end clothing is easy to access online.
Yeah.
But they have a robust online platform as well. However, this new rack store that they have, the outlets.
Nordstrom Rack.
Yeah, mm-hmm. it's good for the consumer. I love it. But I know it's not good for them. It gives them a channel to get rid of some of their excess inventory. But at the end of the day, they're going to grow too fast in that area, and it's going to hurt them.
Are they manufacturing any particular unique products to that? Because, you know, a lot of companies do. Polo, Brooks Brothers, they have unique things for their stores. They're different from mm-hmm. Brooks Brothers' own stores.
Well, they have private label branding, but I'm sure they're not vertically integrated. They're not actually manufacturing. It's outsourced.
Well, Nordstrom's always positioned its brand as being one that's more about the experience and the service. So
yes.
mm-hmm. how they are able to transition into a more digital environment
Let me put it this way. We all like to quote pamper and service like mm-hmm. that. You know a gas station around where somebody comes out? Pumps your gas.
It's not there.
I'm just telling you, the bottom line is the economics sort of force it in this kind of situation. As for Bed Bath & Beyond, they bought World Market. And they bought World Market simply because that's one of the more internet proof.
Because mm-hmm.
They have unique little things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You'd have to shop at 1,000 different websites to find what you want. And again, I will point out that Bed Bath & Beyond has a very vigorous website, too, in my experience. So, Ted, you want to talk about Bill Murray from Pennsylvania? He's been listening to us for years.
Yeah, Bill's
and he's been up there, I don't know how many years.
And this is not the Bill from Caddyshack. He says, about 20 years ago, Dr. Gene, that you advised listeners that due to an aging population, healthcare stocks would be a good sector of choice. And he's saying you're very right about that. Since then, Vanguard Healthcare Fund, VGHCX, has very significantly outperformed the S&P 500. However, he says that operating PE ratios are now very different. He's saying that the healthcare sector has a 32 PE versus 19 for the S&P. His question is, are the demographics that cause healthcare success still in place? Will the healthcare goose continue to lay golden eggs, or is she getting tired?
I would say this is
everybody. Caskets.
Everybody yeah. has that.
By the way,
Hildebrand.
Before you answer that,
it's a Bates company, isn't it?
I mean, if they've been listening to the Gene for 20 years, caskets.
I'm only here for 4 minutes, Gene.
Hey, but,
here to cause trouble.
Hey, before you answer the question, healthcare is not selling for 32 times.
What is it?
16.5, 17.
Oh.
He may be looking at biotech.
Yes.
At 32 times.
Yeah, somebody smart. Well, you know, the healthcare, I suspect, is not going to grow as rapid a rate. And simply because the Obamacare, and that has slowed.
We're about to disagree.
Oh.
I'm not a fan of Obamacare, but I will agree with you that the margins will contract a little, but I think the volume, increased volume, because of more,
I love that. Man.
But
so I have more people tell me I'm losing a dollar per widget. I can make it up on margin. I mean on volume.
Yeah, on volume.
But it's a fact. So yeah, I agree with you about it's going to be harder to get those numbers.
I'm going to tell you one thing. Right, here's what's going to happen. The only way you're going to have to increase the volume is to have more doctors. And buddy, let me tell you, the enrollment in medical schools down.
Yeah. Yeah.
Everything is down. Doctors are retiring as early as they can. And every time I have a conversation with a doctor and I say something about this and that, he says, yeah, that's Obamacare. And it's just killing it. And now they want to, Obama wants to say, you can go in and see a nurse. Yeah, I don't mind seeing a nurse.
Yeah.
Yeah, give me a shot. But you know, when I come in, I got a serious problem. I want to see a doctor.
And it's more and more expensive to maintain an individual practice, too. So many of these doctors are trying to get on staff with hospitals.
Yeah.
So they can benefit from the larger infrastructure.
But see, you're focusing on the industry of the doctors. You're not focusing on the industry of businesses and the products.
Okay.
This is a question about the stocks.
All right. Now, the next thing we go. Well, that's what I want to talk about. Next thing you know is the limitations on the drugs that they'll allow.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to cut the profit margin in the drug manufacturers. Mm-hmm. Okay. It's going to cut the profit in the mid-care guys. I mean, in the Walgreens and the CVSs and stuff like that. They're trying to force you. We have United Healthcare. I get a letter saying we're not going to let you go through there anymore. If you do, it's going to cost you $300 a month for it, but we'll do it directly for $100 a month. Well, that's good for United Healthcare, but that's not good for anybody else I know in the practice all the way around. And that's a short-run situation because now the battles of the big guys are coming together. Most of the healthcare guys sort of cherry-pick states where we're really going to go after and stuff like that. Well, when I got Georgia all filled up, where's United Healthcare going to run?
Mm-hmm.
The next state. And they're going to be going against somebody who's there, and that's when that'll get squeezed. If all the predictions are right, if everybody has health care, then what it means is that the cost goes down, right?
Yeah.
Isn't that an argument?
The
only way the cost goes down, it's not going to be 7% or 17% of our economy, is it has to shrink as a proportion of the economy, which means it's a sector which will not grow as fast as the rest of the economy. 20 years from today, it'll be less profitable. I wouldn't bail out today. I'd wait until...
There's more
Republicans get elected, they lower taxes.
the actual price increases may decrease, but the actual volume of health care is going to go up.
I'm saying as a proportion of the GDP, it's going to fall, which means the sector itself.
Okay.
Other sectors are going to grow faster. I'll be dead in 20 years, Ted. We'll see if I'm like...
And on that note, we'll be right back.
Caskets.
All material presented is compiled from sources believed to be reliable and current, but accuracy cannot be guaranteed. The contents are intended for general information purposes only. Information provided should not be the sole basis in making any decisions and is not intended to replace the advice of a qualified professional, such as a tax consultant, insurance advisor, or attorney. Although this material is designed to provide accurate and authoritative information with respect to the subject matter, it may not apply in all situations. This is not to be construed as an offer to buy or sell any financial instruments. It is not our intention to state, indicate, or imply in any manner that current or past results are indicative of future profitability or expectations. Portfolio holdings discussed are subject to change. There is no guarantee that in the future these securities will be held in Hensler accounts. As with all investments, there are associated inherent risks. Please obtain and review all financial material carefully before investing. Hensler is not licensed to offer or sell insurance products. This overview is not to be construed as an offer to purchase any insurance products.